Governments and other institutions often have to make extremely high-stakes decisions, depending on the judgment of a very few key people. We know that human judgment and decision-making is far from perfect, but research suggests that practices like calibration training and making explicit forecasts may lead to substantial improvements. Jess will discuss why improving institutional decision-making could be a high-impact cause worth more attention in EA, and some avenues in the space that seem promising. She will also raise some uncertainties about doing this kind of work and questions for further exploration. Jess has a PhD in behavioral science and has worked as a policy consultant for government, specializing in security and foreign policy. She also has experience as a freelance journalist for a number of online magazines, including Quartz, Vox, and Aeon. Before her PhD, she studied maths and philosophy at Oxford and played a key role in developing 80,000 hours coaching process and research. If you'd like to ask her questions, you can find her at office hours at 1 p.m. and submit questions in the Bizabo app. Please join me in welcoming Jess Whittlestone.
Thanks for coming. So when I first got involved in effective altruism, which was about 5 years ago now, it was around when I just finished my undergrad, and I read a book called Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman, which many of you may have read or heard the key ideas of, and it had a really big influence on me. It gave me this sense that maybe a lot of the flaws and limitations of human judgment might actually underpin a lot of the problems in society, and that maybe trying to sort of improve human decision-making and improve the way that we make judgments could be a really important part of solving big problems in the world. So I ended up going and doing a PhD in behavioral science, sort of with the aim of understanding this area better. And I've been thinking a lot over the last 5 years or so about this kind of general area of how do we improve decision-making to kind of better solve problems in the world. And my views on this have changed somewhat over time. I've become more skeptical of some of the approaches I thought might be effective early on. And one thing I've been thinking about in particular a lot over the last few months since finishing my PhD is this idea that maybe focusing on improving the decision-making of sort of key influential institutions that have to make high-stakes decisions might be the highest impact way to improve decision-making, or one thing that we should be thinking more about. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about I've been having conversations with various people about this and doing a bit of research and just sort of generally thinking about this area more. So my intention today is just to give you a bit of an overview of what I found from that and what I'm thinking and why I think this might be something that's worth more attention in EA. But I'd really welcome sort of feedback and suggestions too, because I think this is still sort of a very new and uncertain area. So I'll just start by kind of clarifying a bit what I mean by institutional decision-making and improving institutional decision-making. And so with this, I mean something like sort of implementing better techniques and processes to improve the quality of judgments and decisions that are made by important institutions. So an example of this would be sort of implementing much more use of randomized control trials within policymaking, which seems to have happened over the last sort of 5 or so years in government. There used to be sort of like very little evidence-based policy. And slowly, different parts of government are kind of getting more interested in and more convinced by the importance of testing different policies against each other using things like randomized control trials. And this suggests that they're going to be able to actually deliver policies that they have much better evidence work. And this seems to me like clearly a beneficial thing. People who've pushed for more use of evidence, and particularly RCTs and policymaking, seems like pretty valuable to me. Just to kind of dig into a bit more detail about what I mean by this area. So by influential institutions, I mean something like organizations that make very high stakes decisions or control a large amount of resources. So this might mean government. It's kind of the obvious example. Particularly parts of government that we think are working on very important problems, like international development or security. But also maybe large foundations, like the Gates Foundation, and maybe large tech companies that are very influential, like Google or Amazon. Just a sort of bit of an overview of some of the techniques and processes that I think might be promising in this area. So one thing I've sort of changed my mind about a bit over the last few years is when I started my PhD, kind of off the back of reading Thinking Fast and Slow and similar literature, I was really focused on this idea that we should identify biases in human reasoning and kind of try and fix them. And I actually think I'm less convinced that that's the best approach now, for reasons I can go into with people afterwards if they're interested. And actually now it might be better to think about these kind of like more general processes that sort of deal with some of the problems with human reasoning in a slightly more sort of like general and fundamental way. So for example, I think the practice of like making explicit, well-defined predictions is not trying to target any specific bias, but what it does is it forces you to be very kind of clear and specific about what your beliefs are and then check them against reality. And that kind of incentivizes you to care about the truth and to look at what's actually going on in a way that you might often not be if you've got various other kind of pressures and incentives on you at the time. Some other things that seem promising to me, calibration training and kind of generally learning to think probabilistically. I think one problem with human reasoning is we find it very difficult to think in terms of probabilities. And so if someone says, you know, it's highly likely that Iraq has weapons of mass destruction, what does that mean? Does that mean 90%? Does that mean 99%? Does it mean 60%? All of those things seem kind of like plausible interpretations, but have very different consequences. So I think this sort of like practice of like actually training people and helping people to think better in probabilistic terms could be very valuable. Better use of evidence and data in general, kind of especially pushing this into areas that might lag behind now. And then another thing I don't know a huge amount about, but that seems like it could be interesting in this space is sort of better voting systems and maybe using voting in organizations. And this is something Will's very interested in, so you could poke him if you want to hear more about that. What I don't mean by this area is just like improving policy and politics broadly. I think that's also important. People should be thinking about that, but it's a slightly different thing and requires sort of a slightly different approach and not sort of currently my expertise, I don't think. I think if you want to talk about improving politics, probably having a lot of experience in politics is really important, because otherwise it's easy to sort of say naive things about what politics should and shouldn't do. And I also wanted to sort of just briefly contrast this idea I'm talking about here with other ways of improving decision making. So as I mentioned, kind of the most obvious way to improve decision making might be to sort of just try and develop good training in rationality and to sort of like de-bias people in general. And I also think that that's valuable. That's the sort of thing that CIFAR's been doing and targeting that at people that they think are working on particularly important problems. But maybe just something that's got a bit more attention and has some limitations. And then there's also this kind of idea of nudging that's been gaining more popularity in government in recent years. And sort of some of the work I've been doing, I worked for the Behavioral Insights team, kind of was based around that. And I also think that this has had a big impact and has the potential to have a big impact, sort of changing the way that lots of people make small decisions in easy ways by just sort of changing the defaults or making easier options more attractive. But again, it also kind of has its limitations. I spent a bit of time working with the Foreign Office, talking to them about how they can use behavioral science to sort of improve the work that they do and their outcomes. And they were really interested in nudging because that's what a lot of other parts of policy have been using. And so they were like, oh, maybe we can, you know, use behavioral science to nudge the Falkland Islands towards feeling more positively towards the UK. And I was a bit like, I think there can be a bit of a risk there to be like, well, this has worked really well in taxes, therefore it's going to work well in foreign policy. And that's not necessarily the case. So I think one of the things I ended up feeling in the work that I did with the Foreign Office is like actually the thing that would be potentially more valuable to them would be taking insights from sort of judgment and decision-making psychology and an understanding of good decision-making in general and applying that to the processes by which they themselves make decisions and judgments and things, rather than sort of trying to do exactly what other policy areas have done. And I also think relative to these other ways of improving decision-making, sort of the nudging stuff and this idea of rationality training, this idea of like focusing on the way that important institutions make judgments and their processes is like relatively neglected. There's a lot of people in policy talking about behavioral science, but not many people talking about this stuff that I'm talking about, which is part of why I've been interested in it too. So now I'll just talk a little bit about why I think progress on this might be particularly valuable. So firstly, it seems like improvements in this area could improve our ability to solve almost all problems. It could improve our ability, improve sort of government's ability or foundation's ability to prioritize resources if they had better sort of strategies for allocating grants, say, and actually getting feedback on whether those grants were effective or not. I've spoken to a few people sort of working in grant making and important foundations, and they've sort of said, you know, we don't actually have very rigorous processes for doing this and for kind of getting evaluation on our grants. And it feels like a really difficult thing for us to put lots of resources into figuring out right now. But if we had better ways of, if we could sort of test better ways of allocating grants and getting feedback on whether they're successful or not, that would be like really valuable. It could improve our ability to sort of predict and navigate threats. So a lot of the research on forecasting that you may be aware of, that sort of Phil Tetlock and the Good Judgment Project has done, has been funded by the US intelligence, because they're very interested in, like, a lot of what intelligence officers do is make predictions about, you know, threats from other countries and, you know, like, threat, you know, how likely it is that North Korea has, like, a certain kind of advanced nuclear weapons capability. And those predictions are really important for what we do and how we navigate those threats. So developing better ways and strategies for doing, making those kinds of predictions and getting feedback on how well that's going seems like it could be incredibly valuable. And work in this area might also kind of help us to identify new problems, to think about where to look, and to think about how to prioritize them. As I mentioned a little bit previously, this seems like a pretty neglected area, especially compared to sort of other broad attempts to try and kind of improve the system. So like really what this is doing is it's a very kind of meta cause area, really, in that you're sort of trying to improve humanity's like general capability to deal with all kinds of problems. And so there are a lot of things that might fall in this category. You know, one is just kind of like improving education. If education's better, then we'd be better placed to deal with problems. If the political system is better, we might. But it seems to me, at least, that things like education and political reform, while like far from solved, get at least a lot more attention and discussion than this slightly more targeted idea of improving institutional decision-making. And as I mentioned as well, these also seem a bit more neglected than sort of other very general attempts to improve decision-making. And I think there's just a lot we could learn right now by sort of experimenting in this space. I don't have this like clear idea of like, this is the thing that needs to be done. But I have some ideas of things that seem promising and ways that I think we could learn quite a lot more. So I think we do, while not all kind of psychology research is directly obviously implementable, I think we do know about some relatively simple practices that seem pretty likely to improve decision making, like the things I talked about, sort of the practice of making predictions and of sort of thinking in more probabilistic terms. And they're just not being used. So I think having more people going into organizations and actually sort of experimenting with getting slightly different practices like this implemented and seeing what works and seeing what doesn't. And even if just what you learn is, well, it seems like in general there are these barriers that we need to overcome and they're really hard to overcome, that also seems like it would be valuable to me. And I think there is some precedent for organizations like actually adopting new processes and like kind of the norms in an industry or sector changing. Definitely slowly, but I think we have seen this happen. So one example I gave is sort of the RCT movement in policy. I think that has been very successful. The Behavioral Insights team did a lot of work on this and started off in very small areas like tax, and now they've got, you know, maybe it's almost gone too far in that they've got like the Foreign Office wanting to run RCTs where it's not necessarily the appropriate thing, but they've definitely just got, and I think part of the thing there is a lot of people in government just see other people in government doing this and see them finding it useful. And so they kind of want to jump on the bandwagon. So to some extent, it's about making these kind of processes like cool and trendy. There are kind of like movements in business, like the Lean Startup movement, that really have kind of taken on, taken hold and changed the way that people kind of think about their organizations. And then another thing that I think gives us some reason to think that there's sort of like promising progress to be made here is that it does seem like government is influenced by kind of more corporate organizations, and they will like adopt, kind of get interested in adopting successful practices from business. So there's an interesting article I read recently about how the Obama administration was trying to hire a bunch of people, successful people from startups, to sort of try and improve the way that they made decisions and judgments. And I've even seen, I think there was like a course at a business school in the US somewhere that someone sent me that was sort of like lean foreign policy, which Again, I'm not actually sure if that's a good idea, because this idea of like fail fast in foreign policy might not be the best one. But like, I think that this suggests that, you know, if you can get better practices adopted in businesses where it might be easier to start with because they have faster feedback loops and more incentive, then slowly that'll kind of end up getting taken up in other areas too, when other people see people using them and finding them helpful. A few uncertainties about this area. So I think one question is like, is improving institutional decision-making across the board a good thing? Sort of in the same sense of like, is speeding up all technological progress a good thing? Or should we like target specific groups we think are doing good things? Like, is improving Trump's ability to predict the future good or bad? Like, it's not clear. Potentially, it might be more effective to kind of, rather than focusing on improving the way that important institutions make decisions, we might instead focus on just getting the very best people into important teams and influential positions. Maybe you think the barrier here isn't bad decision-making, it's that sort of like, yeah, people aren't good enough. That's maybe a bit more of a controversial position. And then there's this question that I've kind of had raised by quite a few people, which is just like, will better processes make much difference if the systems and organizations themselves have very perverse incentives? So a lot of people have said, you know, like the systems of government just short, you know, politicians have very short terms, and so they have very little incentive to kind of push through changes they actually think will be valuable in the long term. And maybe better forecasting or prediction markets won't make much difference while these perverse incentives are in place. I think there's a case to be made that even, you know, adding some practices that push incentives in a sort of more truth-seeking, better direction could be positive, even if they're not going to completely overcome like the difficulties of a system. But it's a tricky question. So what does this look like concretely working in this area? I think there are two main things you could think about doing in this area as someone who's interested to varying degrees. So one is sort of research and potentially directing funding towards research to develop better techniques and processes that could be adopted by organizations. And the second one is sort of actually implementing and experimenting with better strategies, things that we already know are likely to be valuable within organizations. So yeah, these two maybe slightly confusing pictures, just as sort of an example. So in the research and funding space, like IARPA, which is the Intelligence Advanced Research Project Agency in the US, have been funding quite a lot of work in this space. And I think that's quite promising because they're very closely tied to the intelligence community, and so their research is really being driven by like an understanding of what that community needs. My worry with a lot of research in academia is that it can be quite abstract and not tied enough to an understanding of like what are the actual issues of the decision making in real organizations and what barriers do they face. And then more on the implementation side, this is a picture of a guy called Danny Hernandez, who is a data scientist at Twitch, which is a startup that was acquired by Amazon. And he's been doing a lot of work there to try and get sort of the practice, some of these things I talked about, like the practice of making predictions and calibration training implemented within Twitch, and seems to have had a reasonable amount of success. And one thing I think this points to is that maybe doing this kind of stuff first in like small tech companies or at least sort of quantitatively minded organizations might be kind of easier than trying to go into government, where they don't necessarily even have clear metrics or processes, and people are likely to be a lot more receptive. So, and I think, you know, it's not that he thinks necessarily that like Twitch is the most important organization in the world to improve decision making within, but they like have some influence, and he's learned a bunch about sort of what works and what doesn't, and how to implement these processes in a way that makes people actually want to do them and find them useful. And so he's written up a bunch of stuff on Medium or his blog, I think, sort of discussing what he's found helpful and sort of tips for other people interested in this. So just going into a little bit more detail, some examples of the kind of research that I think might be valuable. Developing better methods for evaluating like how good arguments are when there's no correct answer. It's kind of a tricky question. A lot of the forecasting work focuses on like how do we, like basically kind of works on like judging the accuracy of people's forecasts based on like over time how many they got right. But there are a lot of important questions in the world and things that we might want to reason about where there isn't any correct answer. Like if people are reasoning, kind of arguing about politics, we might want to be able to say that person seems to be kind of making more reasonable and higher quality contributions to this argument than this other person. even if we kind of can't evaluate what they're saying relative to some ground truth. I think there's a lot of interesting work to be done in sort of combining human and machine based judgment. Again, sort of like the hybrid forecasting competition, which is funded by IARPA, which I had a picture of earlier. They're looking at whether combinations of human and statistical forecasts can perform better than sort of either on their own. Surveying and sort of just combining best practices from successful organizations, like a very non-academic approach, but I haven't seen anyone do this, and that seems like that could be really interesting. And I'd also really be interested to see more research on sort of case studies of how better practices have been implemented. Like how did RCTs ended up getting implemented in policy? Like, what did people need to do? What were the barriers? Because I think that is one of the sort of biggest uncertainties in this area, is just like, how hard is this to do in practice? And then I've listed there also a few places I'm aware of that if you are interested in sort of trying to fund research in this space, you could potentially go. And then more on the implementing and experimenting side, I actually think this is the much more neglected area and the thing that would be much more valuable to have more people doing right now. It's sort of easy to end up falling into more abstract academic research that's not necessarily likely to be that relevant. Whereas actually we could learn a lot if, as I mentioned before, sort of like a bunch of people just like took some relatively simple ideas and experimented with actually using them in real organizations. And one thing that seems like it would be really cool here is if you could have like a small network of people who were all kind of in different parts of the world, different industries, you know, government, tech companies, maybe some people in academia, trying to kind of adopt this same kind of like relatively simple principles, like the practice of making explicit predictions, and thinking about sort of like, what are the barriers? Like, what makes people actually want to do this? Where do they find it useful? What sticks? And then communicating and learning from one another. And I think like this wouldn't necessarily have to be a full-time job. If you're interested in this, you could basically do this like alongside your job in pretty much any organization, starting off doing it in a small way. And that could be pretty interesting, and we could learn quite a lot, especially if a lot of different people did it and shared stuff with each other. As I mentioned previously, I think tech companies and startups might be a better place to start than government, but I'd also be really interested to hear from people who have experience in government about any kind of experience trying to do this sort of stuff and what seems feasible and what doesn't. And I mentioned like a kind of network of people doing this and sharing ideas seems like it could be a really valuable thing right now. And that's kind of, a summary of the things that I've been thinking about and what I think would be valuable in the space right now. But I think we've probably got time for a couple of questions, and I would be really interested to hear your perspectives on this kind of area.
I'm afraid we've been having a little bit of a loading problem, so hopefully your questions have come in, but it'll take me just a sec to get those up. I guess while I'm loading that a little bit, I hoped you might embellish a little bit more on your personal experience with doing research in this space. I know you talked about it as an important thing for other people to work on. Can you say maybe the kind of thing that you've researched in particular?
Yeah, so you mean in my PhD or?
Yeah, during your PhD.
So when I started my PhD, I guess as I sort of alluded to, the way I was thinking about this area was very much more in this space of maybe what's needed is to identify like the most important biases that affect human judgment and then find ways to sort of, fix them, like techniques that people could use to avoid them. And I got really interested in confirmation bias because I thought, and still think to a large extent that this is sort of one of the most pervasive like problems of human reasoning and one that like affects a lot of areas, sort of like inability to change your mind and see beyond your current perspective. My PhD ended up kind of going in quite an interesting direction because I started off with this idea of like maybe we should fix confirmation bias and come up with ways to reduce it. And I actually ended up finding in my research that a lot of my PhD ended up being like a critique of the research literature on confirmation bias. I actually found that a lot of the evidence that's cited for it is either sort of like not as high quality or robust as it seems, or it kind of doesn't actually show that there's any real irrationality going on, or at least it kind of doesn't it doesn't clearly enough distinguish what that is. And so that led me down this whole sort of rabbit hole of then asking, well, really, what is rationality and where is a bias a bias? And I think, yeah, it's hard to explain briefly. Happy to talk in more detail with anyone who wants to afterwards. But part of what that led me down thinking is like, maybe this approach of kind of picking off specific biases isn't the best approach to improving decision making. And maybe we need to think in this more, because like there's something like confirmation bias is a bias in like specific scenarios under specific conditions, but maybe we need to think more in this sort of like general way of like, well, what are kind of generally the limitations on human judgment and what are the incentives that are difficult and then how do we kind of change them? So like, unfortunately, I haven't actually, I feel like I've done sort of research that's taught me what maybe might not work, but not quite going into like what does work space.
Great. And I know that I've looked into the behavioral sciences more in the US than in the UK, but I know that sometimes there are misconceptions about, say, the ethics of nudging people's behavior. Do you think that there's some misconception people in the room might have that you'd be interested in addressing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are some ethical issues around nudging. I think it gets tricky. I think when it comes to the ethics of nudging, my perspective is generally that, like, for certain kinds of areas, like, it seems pretty clear what the sort of good behavior is, and most people would generally agree. Like, I think it's still a little bit controversial, but when it comes to healthy eating, for example, I think, you know, there's a pretty objective answer to, like, what's the healthier food, and making the healthier food more available and easier for people to access seems, like, pretty uncontroversially good to me, as long as you're not being sort of too paternalistic and, like, removing all options. So I think, like, I don't have a super well-articulated position on this. I don't think there's any big misconception in that, like, I think it is, there are ethical issues, they're tricky. I think in practice, most of what's done in nudging falls much more in the less ethically controversial space, but, yeah.
Okay. Cool. And to wrap up our Q&A, how would you suggest that people in this room get into the space? Maybe what should they study or where should they try to intern? You mentioned a couple of organizations previously.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, as I said, like one of the things I'd be most excited to see people do is like just in whatever organization you're working in now, like just like take some thing like, you know, look into the forecasting literature or calibration training literature and just like try and get your team doing it and just like see if it's helpful and see what you learn. In terms of things to study, I mean, something like psychology or decision science is sort of the obvious background, but I guess, as I said, I'm a little bit skeptical of the sort of very academic approach to this. And so in a way, I'd also be keen to see more people who have an interest in this area, like working in government, working in companies, and like understand, because I think one of my limitations in understanding this area right now is like I've worked a bit with government, but I don't have extensive experience in government. And so it's very easy for me to say like everyone should be making more forecasts, but I don't really know like what it seems a bit naive because it's like I don't know how that works. And then one other thing that actually Danny Hernandez, the guy at Twitch, mentioned to me, it's like actually maybe rather than going into psychology, if you're interested in this area, like going and becoming a data scientist or like a product manager in a startup or something might be quite a good approach, because as a data scientist, you're already kind of doing lots of like measurement and evaluation and got like quite a quantitatively minded team. And so from that kind of position, it might be easier to then start thinking about like, okay, how do we make sure that this team is making really good judgments and decisions and things?
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks again.